Members of Parliament have been urged to learn from Australia's veterinarians as they consider strategies for containing the coronavirus. Former president of the Australian Veterinary Association, Matt Makin, says current lockdowns are being enforced on regions with no infections. He's advocating the establishment of no-go zones based on local government areas and other geographical boundaries. Matt Makin is also the former mayor of Corangamite Shire Council. He joins me now. Good morning. Welcome to breakfast.
Good morning, Hamish.
Why do you think lessons from past animal disease outbreaks can actually inform what we're doing here?
I think, Hamish, the true reason is that veterinarians throughout the world have been dealing with highly pathogenic viruses and disease for generations, and we have well-rehearsed plans that have proven very effective over the years. And I guess my point in raising these issues is that I don't believe the public health officials are taking due note of our experience in that regard.
Is it the same, though, dealing with something, an outbreak of an animal disease versus something, a virus sweeping through the human population? I mean, you can do things, I suppose, with animals that is more complicated, more difficult to do with humans.
That is partly true, Hamish. However, the animal world is even more complicated, I would argue, because you have the added challenge of wildlife and feral animal diseases and animal movements happening on a daily basis. So the challenges are very similar, and the manner in which viruses transmit between animals is almost identical to the way they transmit between humans. So the basic biosecurity and disease control principles are exactly the same.
So you're pointing to something like the 2007 equine influenza outbreak. It was eradicated within 6 months. How did you do? How was it done?
The core principle is the concept of zoning and compartmentalisation, which is what we are seeing gradually emerge now in Victoria. Now, when you zone, I think the difference in the veterinary world is we define the zones really clearly. So you have infected zones, you have protection zones, and you have containment zones. And what seems to be happening in the human space at the moment is it's almost a one-size-fits-all. So they're taking a ring around Melbourne and treating it as one zone. And my point of view is that it is near impossible to control a disease of the nature of COVID-19 when you have such a large zone.
But prior to locking down all of Melbourne, there were a number of suburbs which were put under increased restrictions. Isn't that a version of zoning?
It is a version of zoning, but I think what's missing is really clear case definition of what is an infected zone, what is a free zone. And we're even seeing, on the news this morning that Mornington Peninsula Shire, for example, is saying, hey, they shouldn't be a containment zone. They're a free zone, yet the one-size-fits-all approach is being taken. And the key benefit of creating, it should be 10, 15, 20 zones throughout Victoria that are monitored, and as they become free, you can free up economic activity and merge free zones together. So you gradually get to a point where a higher and higher proportion of the state is free of disease and free of the restrictions, but those infected areas remain so until proven to be free.
But how do you, when you're dealing with such a broad area and large population, how do you actually manage that? I mean, we're already hearing about how complicated it is to try and put a so-called ring of steel around Melbourne. Practically, it's almost impossible.
Well, that's exactly the point. You're trying to control the behaviour of 5 million people, which is extremely difficult. However, if you zoned it off and took different approaches to different zones, that's the pathway to control and eradicate this disease, if that's feasible. Now, I think really importantly, this has been a complicated communications message for the public from the start. Schools were open, schools were not open. Bars were open, bars weren't open. So the message has been really complicated from the start. This message about multiple zones throughout the state is no more complicated than what we've been dealing with so far.
I believe you've shared this discussion paper that you've put together with a number of federal government MPs. Are you hearing interest from the politicians on this?
Yes, so I sent this to some very high-ranking federal MPs early on in the outbreak, and the feedback was very positive. I guess the challenge is that the public health officials are looking in their existing toolkit for solutions to this disease, and there is no solution because they haven't approached or had to approach or eradicate this type of disease before. My point is, open your eyes, look at the experience of the veterinary profession, because I am really confident that there are lessons that we have learnt oftentimes the hard way in how to control these type of diseases, and that discussion would be of benefit.
I know you're also the former mayor of Corangamite, Dan Andrews, has said that he hopes the new lockdowns in Melbourne will allow more restrictions to be eased sooner in regional areas. I suppose this goes to your point about zones, but how much does this metropolitan Melbourne lockdown hurt businesses where you are? I mean, there's so much sort of crossover between Corangamite and Metro Melbourne these days.
Oh, particularly, and Corangamite's the home to the 12 Apostles, so that the economy depends highly on tourism. And the point that I made even to a number of council CEOs and mayors early on was they should be advocating for free status so that economic activity within their zone can be freed up. And that's the pathway, and that's the way to manage this disease without really decimating people's livelihoods.
You own, I think, a vet consultancy business there. It sees you move across state lines, including into South Australia. That became a hard border last night. Are there a lot of people impacted by that?
There will be, particularly those in border communities and service industries that cross those borders. But, you know, we're innovative, and we have ways to work around that, and you know, not evading the law, but working with our clients and farmers and so forth to achieve the desired outcome. So it's, whilst it is an impediment, I think it's not a decimating impediment at the moment. So you know, that's what it is. I guess I'm advocating quite strongly that the one size fits all approach is unnecessarily burdensome on large numbers of regional communities, and I think a number of them are sitting there going, what the heck is going on? Why the one size fits all rule is being applied? And I think that's a question for the premiers, and unfortunately, I don't think it's received enough airplay at the moment, Hamish.
Matt Makin, thank you very much.
Thank you.